Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances.
I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 127, the Boo episode. It is Thursday, so I'm back to being a Thursday girl, quite unintentionally. I thought I was going to have this posted Monday or Tuesday. It's just been a busy week, and here I am, back on Thursday. It is October 24th. A week from Will's birthday and Halloween, both of those being the same day. Tonight, Will is having his birthday sleepover with Gavin and Wynn, who he always has his birthday sleepover with. And they don't have school tomorrow. They all go to Durham Academy, and it is a teacher work day. So this is the one day that worked out for everybody. Yay! And they're watching a movie right now after playing... Oh, I don't even want to think about how many hours of video games. I think just two, but nonetheless, after a while, you're just like, oh, get out a board game, draw a picture, do something. But anyway, I am working on quilting the Halloween quilt, and I talk about that. It's been a little frustrating, but now I'm in the groove. In fact, I'm almost done. I had to take a break. The one thing I always forget... There's a lot I forget about machine quilting, but I definitely forget the toll it takes on your neck and shoulders, and I'm trying to be better today about actually every 15 minutes or so stopping, stretching, walking around, because I actually have gotten slowed down a little bit. What was it? Today's Thursday. I think it was like, I spent a lot of time quilting on Monday and Tuesday, and then, but you know, I just got ended up having a headache just from all the tension in my shoulders and neck. And so in fact, yesterday I didn't work on it. I think I worked on it for 20 minutes because I was scared. And today I'm back on it. It's almost done, but I am taking breaks and trying to be good about that. I want to say thank you to everyone I heard from. After last week's episode, I heard from Noni and Chris Kaufman, heard from AJ Dubb and Shelly Beth, heard from Kennedy the Fifth, and Allison from Within a Quarter Inch, and got some nice Twitter love from Jay, alerting the masses that I had a podcast up, and I did. I'm trying to use Twitter a little more. In fact, I used it. I got help on picking borders. I just posted the quilt top on Twitter and said, "What do you guys think?" And heard from lots of people, which I really appreciate. That was really helpful. I was like, "Yeah, I should do that all the time." So I will from now on. Anyway, I am thinking about after I finish this. Doing a Thanksgiving quilt. There is a wall in our kitchen. So my kitchen, it's not really a dining area. It's more like a breakfast nook and then living room. It's funny because this house was built in 1965. So don't imagine big high ceilings. It's like a big room that has been divided in thirds. And in fact, from the living room, you step up into this breakfast nook and then into the kitchen, and the kitchen is divided by cabinetry from the breakfast nook. Anyway, in that sort of breakfast nook area, and it's not nooky. There's nothing that's nooking it. In fact, so when you step up, there's also a railing that goes, you know, sort of halfway from the wall to again, but divides that the downstairs, that step down into the living room from the up. The breakfast nook, that is not really a nook because there's nothing nooking it, right? It's just a divided space. It's that space in the middle. And if when I sit at the kitchen table, my seat, I'm looking into the living room, which may be really the family room. I think I just have two living rooms. We've been discussing this now for, I think, 3 years, right? We have two living rooms. The TV living room. I'm looking into that. And if I look to my left, there is a short hallway with the bathroom and the hall closet. And if I look to my left, but then kind of scooch around about 45 degrees, there is a wall.
and it is just the right size for a quilt. And for years, in fact, I did. I made a quilt a long, long time ago. Well, I think the first summer I was podcasting, very simple, just a charm quilt, you know, alternating white and charm squares. And I had it up there for a while. I think I probably just had it thumbtacked because I'm classy. But I do think I'm going to actually... Oh, here comes Travis. I'm up in my study. Hello, Travy. But anyway, I think I'm going to get the man to actually put some hooks in there and make that a quilt hanging spot. And that's where the Halloween quilt can go. Can you hear Trav? You can hear Trav. He's involved. And then could put a Thanksgiving quilt. I found a very cute pattern. I can't remember. I think Mark Lipinski posted it on Facebook. It's an old McCall's quilting pattern. Not old, old, from the 90s. And it has pumpkins, but they're harvest pumpkins, not Halloween pumpkins. They're not jack-o'-lanterns. And then a border. So there's the centerpiece, which are these two pumpkins. And then they're bordered by leaves and what really look like... it's funny, I talk about this in the podcast, where I was listening to Tanisha, and she mentioned modern maple quilt, and this is what it looks like. They look like modern maple leaves, although this was like in the 90s, so ahead of its time. And then another border. Anyway, I really like it, and it looks like I might be able to make it from scraps I have. So I may do that while I'm working on another project, which... Did I mention this last week? Ah, my age, it's getting to me. If not, I am going to do an applique Christmas quilt. And I'm excited. I think I'm... Did I talk about it? Who knows? I don't know. But I must talk about it at some point in this episode. So be prepared. It's very thrilling. So lots of plans coming up. So tomorrow's October 25th. The man and I met... 22 years ago on October 25th. So we've been married 19 years, 19 and a half almost. But it's also, of course, 2 months from Christmas. And I have plans for getting ready for Christmas, including making the basic Christmas cookie dough. Yeah, I'm going to get organized this year. You know, it's Quilt and Jenny. Quilt and Jenny, she's part of this get ready for Christmas thing. I was over on her blog. I know, not commenting. Sorry, Jenny, and you're great. Now I can't remember what, but there's this, it's this website, and it's basically, you know, this Christmas countdown, although it looks like it started in September. So I got on that bandwagon a little bit late, but it inspired me, and I thought, you know, it's like now is the time to straighten out your pantry. Because, you know, when you straighten out your pantry, really, it'll hold for a couple months, right? I mean, it's like getting out, once you get out all the old stuff and all the baggies that you shoved in the back, whatever, you know, it's not a job. My pantry, at least, doesn't have to be done like every couple weeks or every month. So if I do that now, it's going to hold till Christmas. I need to go through my deep freeze, get rid of the stuff that we're not. Is never going to get eaten. Need to get rid of that stuff. And then, you know, buy a turkey breast. Buy a couple turkey breasts. That's what we do. Because I have that pathetic oven, which I've talked about many a times, which I hate. It is the size of a shoebox. So you couldn't even do a big turkey in there. One day, when I renovate my kitchen, which I'm sure will not be for years and years... But once I get my children through college and I renovate my kitchen, oh man, I'm going to get like the biggest stove in the world. It's going to be like a pickup truck of an oven. The stove, actually my stove is fine. It's the oven. I'm going to get the biggest oven in the world. And I'm going to have a big fat turkey every Thanksgiving and every Christmas. But for now, turkey breast, which I could buy now and have in my deep freeze, which... If I clean up my deep freeze, I could have my cookie dough, my turkey breasts. I could just be all ready. I need to clean my Lazy Susan. That's another thing that you really only need to do a few times a year. Not that I do it a few times a year. I do it maybe once every 2 or 3 years. You know, it's like you've got to get in there with a vacuum and get all the cornmeal. I don't know. If you don't live in the South, you may not do cornbread. We don't do cornbread that much because I try not to eat too much bread. But, you know, we're Southern, so we have to have the cornmeal, and that spills all over the place, and the flour, and you have to get in there and scrub off the molasses, because, again, we're in the South. Well, anyone who makes ginger snaps is going to have some molasses around. It's not necessarily a Southern thing, but anyway, all that stuff. And go through the spices. I helped my friend Danielle, who moved to Charlotte in August. I helped her clean out her kitchen as she was packing. And that's what I did. I went through her spice rack and got rid of, like, all the spices that expired in 2004. And, you know, and you go through it and you're like, wow, how many have, you know, because of those spices you buy that you just buy for, like, one shot. That's it. And then you don't throw them out. But I'm trying to get better about buying my spices at Whole Foods, you know, because I carry a lot and you can just get a tiny bit. So, you know, in from their spice bins, from their little spice canisters, as opposed to buying the McCormick spices, which, you know, sit in your spice rack for 5, 7, 10 years until you move and get rid of them. So those are things. So I'm just sharing that with you, a little inspiration. Feel inspired. Clean your Lazy Susan. But I have like a actual cabinet, which is a Lazy Susan, two-tiered Lazy Susan cabinet. So it's not just a little thing like on my countertop. It's big. But that's the kind of stuff I can do now. And then Christmas is just going to be peachy. It's going to be so low-key, no stress. I'm starting my Christmas shopping. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. This is the year that I'm actually going to enjoy Christmas. Because, you know, I'm getting kind of grinchy about Christmas. It's always fun. It's always fun. Once you get to about December 23rd and all the work's done, then it's like, oh, yeah, this is good. But it's leading up to that. Yeah. So, anyway. I'll keep you updated. That is, I think, enough of an introduction. I have a bunch of days of quilt diaries, although some of them are quite short. I think one is like 1 minute long. I think one's like 10 seconds long. So anyway, leave comments at, let's see. Oof, there's Jack getting water. You're hearing all the sounds of the household. Travis breathing, Jack watering. Jack walking. What's Jack doing? Jack looking in. Jack getting the phone. Hi, Jack. He loves me so much. Anyway, gosh. Yeah. Oh, you could contact me. First of all, leave a comment. I love to hear from you. See, I'm doing so good, aren't I? I'm back. So comment. FDAL. Oh, no, that's not commenting. Commenting as theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. You could email me, fdowell@nc.rr.com. Leave an iTunes review if you haven't done so. Hope you are listening to Allison Within a Quarter Inch and the new one, Amy's Creative Dreams, Amy's. It's now the boys are laughing. Good Lord. Not Jack though. He doesn't laugh. Yes, but you know, everyone's talking about it and it's very fun. I think it is something like Amy's Creative Dreams. Amy, I'm sorry, I don't have my computer right in front of me. I have my iPhone. That's how I knew who commented on the last episode. I'm just going on, you know, I'm tired. So I'm gonna stop going on. But listen to all those good podcasts out there. I've been having fun. I'm getting all caught up. It's great. So, on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, Day 1. Wednesday, October 16th, 2-ish. I am between tasks right now. I am thinking about going out and working in the yard, raking some leaves. It's a nice day, a little bit overcast, but in a nice autumnal way. And when the weather's nice on days like this, where it's not too hot, not too cold, instead of going to the gym, I do yard work. I work in the garden. Yesterday I weeded. Today I'm thinking about raking. We have lots of leaves in the yard, and I could use those in my compost bin. But I might wait until later. I can't decide. I can't decide because I'm almost done with my quilt, and I kind of want to finish that up too. And then I need to go to the library. All right, my quilting news. I signed up for a class at Thimble Pleasures November 17th. It is a paper piecing class. It's just one afternoon from 2 to 5, doing the circle of geese pattern. It's a wall hanging, and maybe once and for all, I'll figure out paper piecing. Jay over at Art Quilt Maker has tried to teach me, and Jay's a good teacher, but even Jay could not get me across the paper piecing abyss. My mom did give me a Carol Doak video, and I've not watched it, or Carol Doak DVD. And I'm thinking maybe I'll watch that, and then I'll go to this class, and then go back to Jay and say, okay, I'm ready. Let's try again. I'm hoping he'll help me. I don't know what it is about paper piecing other than I have not gotten the hang of it. But I'm excited about the class, and it's nice. There were a number of classes on the fall roster over at Thimble Pleasures that looked good, but a number of them were like two-day classes. They have too many classes that meet like at 6:30 at night. There is another quilt shop. It's in Raleigh. It's North Raleigh. It's not that far of a drive for me, maybe 20, 25 minutes. It's called Wish Upon a Quilt. Cute little store, tons of pre-cuts, lots of fun stuff. I really like it. They do any number of classes, and they're all like weeknights at 6, you know? And I'm just like, my guess is they have an older clientele. And, you know, this is something I think we've probably discussed here before, but, you know, if people, and I think my mom and I have talked about it, but, you know, if you're 65 and your children are gone, and who knows, maybe your husband is gone too, but you might actually, that might be a great time to take a class, not too early, not too late. But for me, you know, if you've got kids, just forget it. If you're making anybody dinner, forget it. 6 o'clock. Is not going to work, especially having to drive through rush hour traffic to get there. So anyway, there are a number of classes at Thimble Pleasures as well that are early evening and just don't work for me. But as long as they work for everyone else, I guess I'm okay. But this is one Sunday afternoon, 3 hours, perfect, and I'm excited. I'm also excited. I ordered a quilt pattern. I want to make a Christmas quilt. Now, my mom gave me a pattern. I have to find it. That was very cute, and I may do that as well, because I think you're allowed to make more than one Christmas quilt if you would like. And I don't have any. I don't. And I think it's because for the last 2 years, is that right? Maybe. I feel like it is. The last 2 or 3 years, I feel like I've been making quilts at Christmas, although now, thinking about last Christmas. No, I did. Last Christmas, I made my sister-in-law quilt. That's the one. It was really pretty, but some of the batiks bled, which made me sad. So I've always been working on a quilt for someone else around Christmas, and this year I've just pledged not to do that. No Christmas quilting except for my home. I ordered, it's called, it's patterns from Keepsake Quilting. It's the North Pole Village. These are applique quilts. Lots of applique, so this should be fun. I've done some applique with Jay. So now I'm going to be doing a lot of applique. It's four buildings, and they're Christmassy. There's like a building with, you know, and they're little penguins, and they're rabbits. It's very cute. And we have a Christmas village that we put up every year, and Will in particular is very fond of it. In fact, last year that was his job, to put up the village, and he and I were actually looking at the Keepsake catalog online, and I showed him the North Pole Village quilts, and he liked them a lot, and he felt like that would just be perfect with our Christmas village. So and it's four separate patterns, and you can either do four panels or one panel. You don't have to buy all four patterns. What surprised me, I don't know why, it's like one pattern, $10. That didn't surprise me. For some reason, when you combine them, it costs a lot of money. It's like for all four patterns, they actually have a deal. You do four patterns and you get, you only have to pay $32.99. And it was Columbus Day, and therefore it's free shipping. And for some reason, I was just like, that just seems a lot for patterns. Although the houses are all different, so they are four separate patterns. And it also seems that applique patterns are more expensive, because that's Will being a child of the internet. So we'll go online, go Google it, see if you can find it someplace else. And I said, you know, I bet that the pattern is, you know, a keepsake quilt pattern. So I don't think I'm going to find it online. But we looked. We just looked under Christmas quilt patterns. And sure enough, the applique patterns were expensive for full quilts. And so when you put this, all these four panels together, it's 44 by 36. Individually, they're 15 by 36. So I guess that's how it works. And the design is by Sue Pritt. Each pattern has Sue Pritt's piecing and fusible applique directions. We're going to try it out. It is a darling quilt. I think it would be fun. I like the idea of doing this applique. It, who knows, it may be the death of me. but I really like the quilt. So we will give that a shot. So those are two big quilty things for me this week, is signing up for that class and ordering this pattern, which I'm really excited to get and to work on. I've also, while I've been working on my Halloween quilt, I have been ironing those half square triangles for my mosaic quilt. And this afternoon, I'm going to, I think, finish up the Halloween quilt top. And while I'm sewing the top together, after I've decided, I may not sew it together tonight. I may be messing around and, you know, trying to get that aesthetically pleasing effect that I'm after, which may take a lot of mixing and matching of blocks. So it may not be till tomorrow that I actually am ready to sew the top together. But I will also, I think I have 8 mosaic blocks. I have the half square triangles for 8 mosaic blocks. So I may try to get those sewed together tonight and then get it all spread out on the floor and see where I think I am with that. Because I would love to finish up with it. And I feel like so many people have been so generous and kind donating fabric to that I don't want you to think I'm quilt fading. I am finishing this quilt and I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be really, really pretty when it's done. But I needed a diversion. So that's why I'm on that. I'm catching up on podcasts. I listen to, caught up with Tanisha, caught up with Susan, the history quilter, which is a lot of fun. She was talking about reading Michael Pollan's new book on cooking, which I think is called Cooked. I've been reading that too, and I haven't gotten that far. He starts with fire. He starts with the elements, like fire, then I can't remember. It's like there's fire, there's water, there's air, which I guess would be bread. What are fire, water, air? What's our fourth element? I don't know. Asphalt? But anyway, so I've read the part on fire, which is grilling. It was a lot of fun because he's writing about North Carolina barbecue. And then I read some of the next one, whatever it is, pavement. And, you know, I don't know why. He's just kind of losing me. And I like Michael Pollan a lot, and I enjoyed The Omnivore's Dilemma, and I've enjoyed his work on gardening. He has a really good gardening book. Now I can't remember what it's called, but I enjoyed it. And there's something, first of all, he starts off the second chapter, or the second part, which is about sautéing. Sautéing is not an element, or it must be water. It must be about braising and things like that. But he starts off talking about chopping an onion and kind of how boring that is. And no one looks forward to chopping an onion. Well, I like prep work. I did a little bit of prep work. Like I worked in a restaurant in grad school where I was a dishwasher and a prep cook. And I like that part of cooking. I like chopping onions. So I did not like his kind of disdain of that part of the process, because I think that's the fun part. You know? It's it's the basis, chopping your onions and garlic. I mean, that's the basis of 80% of the meals I cook. And it's, you can be very zen about it if you want to be. But yeah, so I mean, it's a weird thing to be put off by. I didn't like what he said about chopping onions. But, you know, I didn't. I thought, wow, we've kind of got a different attitude about cooking. But I do like reading about cooking. And I like, what is it? Who is it? Bill Buford? Maybe the book Heat, which started out as a New Yorker article about a guy who kind of starts working in kitchens. He works in Mario Batali's kitchen, and then he goes, you know, because he's a home cook, and he kind of, like, you know, very male thing, gets obsessed with cooking, and so wants to know what is it like to cook in a restaurant, which is a, you know, really different experience, and then what is it like to make pasta in Italy. But it's very fun. I enjoy books like that, and I don't know, I'm just not quite getting pulled in by Michael Pollan. I don't know if I have anything else to tell you. I'm almost done with Elizabeth Gilbert's The Signature of All Things, which I'm very readable, very good. And it's so interesting, because if you know her from Eat, Pray, Love, and most of us do know her from that, I mean, I don't think there's anything in Eat, Pray, Love that would not cause you to think that she's intelligent and a good writer. But some of this stuff, I was thinking the research she must have had to do for this book is pretty intense. And the way she puts it together is very effective and very creative. And it's a good book. I would recommend it. And I need to finish it up because my friend Danielle, who moved, and I are going to discuss it. And she's already finished it, but I got thrown off by my Nashville trip. I forgot to tell you, by the way, I saw Winona Judd at the airport. I never see celebrities. I'm trying to think who I have seen close up besides Winona. And I think, you know, I saw the actress who plays Elizabeth Bennet on the fabulous BBC Pride and Prejudice, Jennifer Ely. I saw her, I was in the same room with her once. That's about it. I can't think of anybody else. Other than, you know, I mean, I don't think seeing bands counts. And, you know, so I can, you know, I saw Tom Petty from way up in the nosebleed section. I don't think that counts. But actually being in the same room or the same area. So anyway, I did see Winona. She and I share the exact same birthday. So I've always felt kind of connected to Winona. I think that's it for now. Until I guess I will post either this, next Monday. I guess I'm thinking I'm doing a lot of work, so I'll have things to tell you about as I'm working. So getting caught up with my podcast and thinking about Christmas. I was looking at Quilt and Jenny's blog today. You know, I'm so bad about leaving comments, but I do look at blogs and I really enjoy them. And I was looking at hers, and there was, like, on her blog list was like this Christmas kind of Christmas countdown, getting ready for Christmas plan site blog. And I went there. I thought, that's a really good idea, because it's kind of like week by week. Do this, do that. And I have a goal this year. It's my goal every year, and I never actually meet this goal of actually getting through Christmas without feeling like, wow, I really hate Christmas. We had a nice, you know, always when we get to actual, the couple days before, you know, it's always enjoyable. Last year we had, you know, a really nice visit with my parents, and you know, every year, like by the time you get to December 23rd, 24th, it's all gravy from then on out. But those couple of weeks leading up to it, you know, it's just work and trying to figure out how to do Christmas and what to get, you know, particularly our children, and like how much should we spend? I always feel like we spend too much, and, you know, and then there's always the fun of having to buy not just Christmas, but birthday presents for the man, because his birthday just comes right up after Christmas on January 7th. And so it's just, you know, I mean, you've been there. You've done Christmas, unless you don't do Christmas. And I know some of you don't do Christmas, but the holidays in general, it's just crazy. That's why I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving, which is the holiday with the good food and no presents. I like that. Yeah. I mean, I personally like getting presents very much, but yeah. So anyway, so I think I'm going to explore some of that, and I'll keep you up to date and see if I actually follow it. And maybe I'll just follow Quilt and Jenny following it. All right, that's it for now. I should go rake or clean or move around or finish my Halloween quilt top. Very exciting. All right, I'll talk to you soon. Quilt Diary, Day 2, Wednesday, October 17th. I've got the quilt top finished. No. I've got the blocks for the Halloween quilt finished. They're on the board. This is like a slice of life quilt diary because I keep walking in and out, going, okay, is this the exact right formation of blocks? And I'm squinting, and I used my color tool that's got the red, how do you call it? Value finders, a red and a green. And all in all, it's not bad, but it's not perfect. And I had this thought that perhaps this quilt does not have the potential for perfect. Do you know, and I've got to come in here, sauteing onions. Oh, this is so slice of life. This is so cinema reality or whatever that is. See? Sauteing onions. Okay, I'm back in. And potential perfection. Now, I know we're saying, oh, well, nothing's ever going to be perfect. But I think you can make decisions at the beginning of the process that ultimately will determine how close to perfect you get. And this quilt I made, you know, with just the pattern for the block and kind of trusting my instincts when I picked out fabric. And I think generally the instincts were good. And I only want to go back to Joanne so many times. And I think that if I were to go ahead and piece this top tonight, I would be ultimately happy with it. I don't think it's riddled with errors in terms of color placement. But I just feel like there's something that I'm missing. I don't know what it is. I'll keep messing with you. Keep messing with you. I ain't messing with you. I'm messing with the quilt. And I'll get back to you. I don't know. But again, I may just not have all the puzzle pieces color-wise to make this entirely satisfactory. It's still going to be a really cute quilt. The muggles will love it to pieces. But I will sit there and stare at it for years to come going, oh, I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done that. Oh, I wish you were with me now, dear listener, and you could stand with me and look at this and help me decide. I'll ask Will. He's good with color. All right. Gotta go saute my onions. More soon. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 3. It is a Saturday, October 18th. Let's just call it the 18th. Anyway, this will be very short. I'll probably be back later today. I am putting the borders on my Halloween quilt, and we'll have much to say about that. Mostly what I have to say is thank you. I got a lot of great feedback. I used social media. I posted a picture of the quilt top, of the pieced blocks onto Twitter and said, "Quilty friends, give me your advice about borders." And I got a lot of good feedback. Several people suggested doing two borders, a narrow dark or black border, and then a wider, brighter, funner outer border. And that is what I've done. Someone actually suggested candy corn, and that's what I got. They had some cool candy corn, and I love candy corn, but they had cool candy corn fabric at Joann's, and this is a Joann's quilt. Do you know what, though? I saw it when I was looking. There's this really pretty fabric sort of in the front display area of the fabric at Joann's, and I was like, wow, this is really cute. And it had a picture of a woman, not the fabric itself, but the display, and then it said DS for Joann's. Now, is that Denise Schmidt? Who is DS? I have to look it up. I'll look it up and I'll report later. Probably, I've been out of things for a while, so I'm sure this has been discussed ad nauseum, or perhaps not. Maybe it's just important to me. But anyway, so got the fabric. I'm about to go have coffee with a friend, and I think on the way back, I'm going to go back to Joann's. I forgot my coupons, so I need to get my batting and my backing, and who knows? I could be quilting on this baby. later today. So I'll have more to talk about. But I'm listening to Allison over at Within a Quarter Inch. So happy to have Allison back in the podcasting fold. We need more people. I'm also, by the way, see, now I'm just going to go off on all my tangents, but listening to, and a couple people have mentioned this. Let me find it. It's Amy's Creative something or other. She's a Moda person, Amy's Creative Side. And it's Amy and another woman. I can't remember her name. I'm sorry. People had mentioned this. I had asked any new podcasts, and I think Noni emailed me and said, Amy's Creative Side. Well, I went to listen to an episode, but the sound quality was really bad, and particularly Amy's cohort was literally phoning it in. She was on the phone. I don't know if that's how they always do it. I don't actually, that is something, unless, you know, even on NPR, like when they're doing phone interviews, there's something about that sound quality that I'm not crazy about to begin with. And on the particular episode that I listened to, it was just like, wow, really bad. But I gave it another chance. And the most recent episode is much clearer. The sound quality is so much better. And it was really fun. So Amy's Creative Side. So it's nice to have a new voice plus Allison's voice, which is not new, but has returned. And I'm just looking and I'm very happy to see that Tanisha's got a new post up. I'm getting caught up. I have a lot of Pams to get caught up with. I was hoping to have a Friday night date with Pam last night, but I had Little League Baseball instead. And by the time we got home, we were so chilled through. All there was to do was watch Parenthood, which we had DVR'd, and drink wine, which we did. What inspired me to post? All right, so I'm sitting here listening to Allison, and she's talking about fabric, and it's fabulous. And I was thinking, oh, I want to take more classes. I'm going to a quilty thing this afternoon at the library. It's the African American Quilt Circle. It's sponsoring some sort of show. I'm not quite sure I understand. It's something about Sister City Quilts. I'm not quite sure what it is, but it just sounds good. And the African American Quilt Circle, which is here in Durham, they always do very cool stuff. So I'm headed over there. And I was thinking, you know, I'm not a group person. You know that. But I long to be. I'm like, this is kind of like my only chance to be in a sorority. It's like to be a quilter. That's as close as I'm getting. And I'll still be the weird girl in the sorority, right? But I would be in the sorority. So we need to come up with a name for the quilty sorority. Like, you know, Alpha Alpha Quilt or something. I don't know. Think about this. But I just wanted to share that. I need to go brush my teeth before I go out, have coffee. But I didn't want to lose that thought. This is my only chance, girls, to be a sorority sister. Let's start our own sorority. And I don't know, have sleepovers and stuff. It'll be really cool. All right, more later, probably this afternoon. Quilt Diary Day 4. I just deleted a really long quilt diary entry because I started talking about modern quilting and trying to think about it out loud. I felt like maybe I would be offending people who are like really into modern quilts. I really like modern quilts. I'm not against them. What got me started talking was this most recent issue of American Quilter, the magazine from AQS. It has an article about Jackie Gehring, who's sort of one of the top dogs of modern quilting. And if you watch the QuiltCon lectures over on Craftsy, you might have seen hers, which was delightful. She cried a lot, but she was very sweet. And I like her quilts very much. She's interesting because I feel like her quilts straddle modern quilts and art quilts, because she does do some that are political, that clearly have a message. She has one that's a gun with blood dripping out of it and pooling in a puddle. And, you know, and it's very powerful. She also does more traditional modern quilts, if you will. But reading the article, what struck me, which I'm not sure struck me so much during her talk, at least I hadn't remembered it, is she has only been quilting for 5 years. And that's so interesting to think that you could sort of be at the top of your field after only 5 years. She, I think, started quilting after she saw the Geese Bend exhibit and got really excited. She came from a crafty family, but not a quilty family. And anyway, she ordered fabric online and started messing around, and she started blogging and showing pictures of what she was doing, and slowly attracted visitors to her blog. And this was kind of as the modern quilt movement was growing, and it really grew online. And so she, I mean, clearly is a quilter and an artist, I think, of real talent. But I just thought that's so interesting, because I don't know if you could do that as a traditional quilter. I mean, one, because the field is so crowded. I mean, if you're a pioneer in a movement, yeah, you will move up to the top if you're someone with the talent and the drive to do so. Now, someone like me, I think I'm always going to be in the lower third anyway. Maybe someone could start quilting making traditional quilts and have the talent and pick up the skills quickly enough to actually be able to turn around pretty quickly and then offer those skills as a teacher and a designer. I don't know. But it is interesting to think about the different skill sets. And that's what I was having a hard time talking about, because I don't want to sound patronizing. Well, you sweet little modern quilters, isn't it nice that you can, you know, that you play with colors so well? But I do think it's, I think they're harder in some ways, except that with modern quilts, in some ways you have less to work with to make an impact, because your palette is fairly straightforward. I mean, most modern quilts, you know, you're working with solids or at least a solid background, often white, sometimes gray or black, but you know, and then, you know, a lot of negative space seems to define the modern quilt look. So really it's, you know, you're kind of, to make an impact, you actually need to be really good at what you do. You need to be really good with color. You need to be really good at design and moving the eye. But without a lot that you're bringing, you know, a lot of tricks in your toolbox, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, in some ways, it's very impressive. In other ways, I've wondered this before. People like Jackie Gehring, who are making these great quilts, at some point, do you get bored? I mean, that's what I guess for me as a quilter. I have made modern quilts, and I've been very excited about them. And I think, you know, when I started this podcast, I was talking about them a lot because I was really excited about that look. I am less excited now, but partly it's because the eye always wants new things. And I will say that I was listening to Tanisha over at Crafty Garden Mom last night. And she mentioned a quilt that's very popular right now called Modern Maples. And so I looked it up, and it's fabulous. I love it. I don't think I'll make it, but I really like it. So who knows? And I love trees. I love leaves. And it's a really cool quilt. So who knows? Who knows? I was just musing, but I was musing in a way that I was unsatisfied by. So enough musing. Let me tell you, I am in the process of quilting my Halloween quilt, of course, also, which for me means in the process of ripping out a lot of stitches. I think before I sit down to quilt, I need like a refresher course, especially when it comes to figuring out the overall quilt. For some reason, I have it in my head I don't even know how to explain it. But so with this quilt, Jay sent me this great tutorial. Jay over at Art Quilt Maker sent me on quilting pumpkins, which Halloween quilt, perfect. And so I went and studied the tutorial, and I liked the pumpkin and practiced the pumpkin. And so when I sat down to quilt, I thought, yes, of course, little pumpkins vining all over this quilt, which sounds like a great idea, except you know what? It didn't work. I mean, and I only did it for about a third of the quilt, and I just thought, I don't think this is right. And part, it's a nine patch. These are blocks, are nine patch blocks made of many different fabrics. It's a busy quilt. The vining thing is not working, and it was just making it busier. And I'm using a bright orange thread to quilt, which may in itself be a mistake. So I'm like, no. And I thought, here's the lesson I learned amazingly before I started quilting, but with a red and white Irish chain quilt, which I've not finished quilting. Take it one block at a time. Design your pattern, your quilting, overall quilting scheme, one block at a time, and then link the blocks together. But I forgot that. I need a refresher course. I need to remember what I once knew. So I've had a couple other misfires, but now I think I'm down to it. It's not, you know, I'm just not a good machine quilter yet. But all you can do is keep trying and practicing and getting better. I'll figure it out. I do have two courses right now in Craftsy that I'm halfway through, the one beyond basic machine quilting with Ann Peterson, which I don't think is that far beyond basic machine quilting. And then another one about quilting with templates that I've not really gotten into. I need to go back. I noticed yesterday that they had a bunch of stuff on sale for like $14.99. I need to go back and see what other machine quilting classes they have. I was at Barnes & Noble today and I was looking at books, and there's not enough. There's not enough about machine quilting. There's just lots and lots of books about how to make fast, easy quilts, which is fine. A lot of people, that's what they have time for, a fast and easy quilt, and it's fun and whatever, but it's not helpful to me. And as we know, the world does revolve around my needs and desires. So what else was I going to tell you? I don't know. I thought I was going to record a little bit more on Saturday. I went to this thing at the library, which was advertised, I think, in a misleading way. I thought it was going to be this event put on by the African American Quilters Circle of Durham. And in fact, it was not. And I thought it was going to be funky and neat and had to do with Sister City quilts. And I just thought it was going to be this big to do. And it wasn't. All right, the phone rang. It was my friend Daniil. We discussed the signature of all things. It's our own little two-person book group that we're doing. Daniil moved to Charlotte, and she's been a part of my book group, or really I've been a part of her book group, for 11 years, and it's been a serious blow to have her gone. And in fact, I can't remember if I talked about this last week, but I don't quite know what to do. Our book group has changed with the loss of Daniil and the loss of Liz, who's only gone for a year. But we've added some new people, lost some old people, and it makes sense that things would change, but I'm not happy with the changes. Anyway, I think I was talking about the thing this Saturday, and what it was four quilts made by four, maybe quilters, I'm not sure. They weren't great quilts. They were small, from our sister cities, from Durham sister cities, and a woman from the African American Quilters Circle read a poem. So the whole project was discussed by an elderly gentleman who is very involved in the Sister City program, and he explained the whole thing, what was going on, and said, so-and-so from the African American Quilters Circle is going to read a poem, and then we'll have four different people come up and discuss these quilts. And these quilts were on display, and they were not really interesting quilts to me. So I stayed for the poem, which was about quilting, and was very funny and very well done, and then I left. Well, I think I will end here. Did I tell you? This is so bad. First of all, because I recorded like 20 minutes and then deleted it. So now I can't remember if I told you that my applique, my Christmas applique quilt kit came. Did I talk about that? You'll have to tell me. I'll have more to say about it. It looks like a good kit. I'm scared because, you know, I don't have a lot of applique experience, but I will muddle through. We will discuss. I am going to end here. And I will be back sometime next week with many adventures to tell you about, I am sure. I hope you have a great week. I hope you make some space for your quilty life. So insert pithy closing slogan motto here. You know, it's like Allison's back. She's got a good one. And, you know, stay within a quarter inch. And Pam's got, you know, quilt long and prosper. I need one. I don't got one, but we've talked about this enough. All right. See you next week. Bye.